Now, theoretically, we are taping.
Okay.
So when we're done, let's say we finish talking for a second and then I rewind. This is the oral interview of Abby Ziggy Ziegler on April 8th, 1995 by Kathy Coughlin. Ziggy.
Hi there.
Hi. How you doing today?
Well, thank you.
Good. Let's start the interview with some biographical information. Basically, where you were born, when, and if you'd want to tell me a little bit about your parents and their lives and the rest of your family.
Well, I was born in Chicago back in the dark ages, January 9th, 1918, and I had good parents and I had one brother, and we weren't too athletically inclined, the family per se, but my brother was a good basketball player and a swimmer, but I was an avid baseball fan and player, softball.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved from Chicago back in 1934, moved out to California, where I went to high school and graduated from Franklin High. And in as much as the Depression was on and my folks didn't have any money, and in those days they didn't have scholarships per se to go to college. I wanted to go to college and become a phys ed teacher, but in lieu of not having enough money, I went to a business college and got a little degree there. And then I worked some, and then I heard about the All-American Girls Baseball League. I read a big article in I think it was the Life magazine, and gosh, I was really thrilled and thought, gee, wouldn't that be wonderful? It could ever happen to us out here in California. Well, it did. They sent a scout out, and they scouted some of us, because we had a real good softball league here, because gals weren't playing baseball then, so they had to draw us from softball. And you want me to stop?
No, you're going great.
Okay, well then, so then they chose six of us to go back for tryouts in the league for spring training, and I happened to be one of the six. And we went by train to Peru, Illinois, is where we had spring training. I never saw so many gals in my life. And I thought, gee, do we have a chance? You know, but they kind of diminished as the days went on. We, all six of us, hung in there from California, and we all got positions on a couple of the ball clubs. And that year they had expanded, Mr. Wrigley had expanded from four teams to six. He started in 43 and was such a success. Mind you, this was really glorified softball because, as I say, they didn't have baseball. We didn't play baseball, so they had to draw from our ranks of softball. So it was a glorified softball, but we had Milwaukee and Minneapolis as the two new teams in the league, and I was chosen to play on the Milwaukee team, and we were known as the Milwaukee Chicks, and the other team was known as, I believe, the Minneapolis Millerettes or something like that, and we had to play on the Brewers baseball diamond, and softball on a baseball diamond doesn't really look good. We didn't draw too well, unfortunately, because Milwaukee is such a lovely city, but that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year, Mr. Wrigley removed both of those teams. Minneapolis went to Fort Wayne, and Milwaukee went to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And
okay.
That's where I played for 10 years.
Okay. Well, that was a wonderful introduction. How about, what was your father's name? And what did he do? What was his occupation? And what was your mom's maiden name and her occupation?
Well, my dad's name was Frank Ziegler, Frank George Ziegler.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a monotype operator as a printer. But about that time, linotype was taken over. And then that, with the depression and everything, he was out of work, which was tough. But never once did we ever go on welfare. We didn't eat steaks and stuff, but we never had a penny of welfare. But at any rate, He was a good dad. And my mom was a good egg. She was a lot of fun. Her name was May Blanche, and her maiden name was Connell, C-O-N-N-A-L.
Ah.
Scotch.
Mm-hmm.
And she was real, real good person. A good homemaker, and she loved to play bridge and all that. Belonged to about 3 bridge clubs, kept a beautiful house. And so that's about the bad. And my brother wanted to become a fireman, and he was doing real well. He passed their written and oral tests, and he was in his probationary period. And when they gave another exam, they determined that he had a heart murmur, and so therefore he couldn't get on the fire department. But heart murmurs, I understand, are very prevalent. And he had it until he passed away a year or two ago, and never bothered him at all. But anyhow, he did not become a fireman. He became a plumber. And that's my family.
Okay. Did your family move to California because of the Depression?
Yes, because my aunt, my mother's oldest sister, had a nice little house out in Los Angeles. And she would rent it to us for $25 a month.
Wow.
And it was nice. It was just a nice little house. And so we moved into that. That was probably one of the reasons we never had to go on any welfare, because my dad didn't want to hear of that, you know.
Yeah.
He was pretty proud. But anyhow, so that's how we came to California.
What kind of work did he do when you moved?
Well, he wasn't doing anything until... a couple years later, he even went out with, my cousin finally got him into a nice position, and it was with a company they made, what the heck did they make? Anyhow, my dad was a perfectionist. He was not a fast worker, but anything he did was done perfectly,
mm-hmm.
you know, which today they just rush through, kind of.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, and what, you said you wanted to go to college to be a phys ed teacher.
Yes, that was my, you know, kids, when you're interested in sports and stuff, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that comes around to you, and I thought, gee, that would be fun, because I belonged to GAA, which was Girls Athletic Association, in high school, and I thought that was great, and I liked our coach. She was a real nice gal. And
mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that wasn't possible. So the counselor from high school said to my dad, well, your daughter is such a good typist, and I had taken shorthand. She said, I suggest if you could garner enough money together to pay her first month's tuition, we could get her a job to work and earn her tuition the rest of the way. So that's what happened. So old Zig went to school at Woodbury, and I liked it all right, but it wasn't my heart's desire.
Mm-hmm. Had you wanted to teach in high school as a phys ed teacher? Was that what your plan was?
If I became a phys ed teacher, that's certainly what I would have liked.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you went to college and became a secretary?
A secretary.
Okay. And where were you working when you read about in the Life magazine about the girls' baseball league being set up?
I was working for a concern called Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, Heating Company. They made gas-fired furnaces. And it worked out very well because in the summer, that was their slack time, and in the winter, it was, of course, the busy time. So I would be able to play ball in the summer and come back, and I'd have a job in the winter,
mm-hmm.
counting the days until next spring training would have come about.
Mm-hmm. And when you read the article in Life magazine, what year was this?
Well, it came out in the either late 43 or very early 44. I believe it was late 43, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to ask you another personal question. Have you ever been married? Do you have any children?
No, my dear, I have not been married. I wasted 8 years on one man. If you'll pardon the expression, I shouldn't say that because I didn't think it was a waste, but it was, and so I didn't. But I have had two lovely nieces, and now I have two lovely great nieces.
Wow, and these are your brother's daughters.
That's right.
Okay, and where are they living? Are they near you?
Well, one of them is married with her husband, and they have, as I say, two neat daughters, one of whom is going to graduate from Cal Berkeley in May, and I'm going up to the graduation. And the other, well, my other niece, the one in Auburn that has two daughters, is Heidi. And the other one is Sherry, and she and her husband live in Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, okay. Well, that's traveling distance, at least. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's discuss a little more about your occupational history. You've already told me about your first job. Did you have any jobs during high school?
No.
Okay.
No jobs at all.
Okay. And when...
I looked like a little runt. Well, a big toad.
Oh, gosh. Oh, why do you say that?
No, I'm just kind of kidding, but... But I was very thin, and, you know, and short, and old, and everything.
Teeny.
Yeah, but I just loved sports.
When did World War I start in relation to your lifetime? Oh, World War II, I'm sorry.
It was before I was born.
Yeah.
That's even back farther in the Dark Ages. I don't remember the year it started, but didn't it end in...
1918. World War II, I mean, is what I should
World
have said.
War II.
Right.
Well, that started along about 1942, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was.
What time period was this for you in your personal life?
Well, it was, I was out of high school and I was working, and I was playing softball, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that was the period, and that's when I was going with this fella.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the 8 years.
Okay. Did he go into the service?
No, if you actually want to know what happened to him, he became the manager of the Rockford Peaches. His name was Bill Allington. Maybe you've heard of him.
Oh, yes. Oh, my.
He was about 14 or 15 years older than I, but I thought he was God Junior.
So you had a relationship with him before you were playing, before you both were involved with the All-American Girls League.
In fact, the scout that came out to scout us, he was put in touch with Bill Allington, and Bill Allington knew all of the ball players, and that helped too.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. So it was to your advantage.
Well, it was, yes.
But you still... Not, I don't mean to demean that how well you played, because you still had to be very, very good to be accepted.
No, but it surely didn't hurt. You
know? Yeah. Well, you played in neighborhood leagues before
good
you
softball
played.
Softball leagues. They had good softball leagues mm-hmm. in Los Angeles. And some nights when I wasn't playing, some of us, they hired to sell peanuts and stuff, you know. And we'd earn it. $1.50 or $2 a night, and I can remember I liked that because I'd throw peanuts way up to somebody up high in the stands. had a lot of laughs.
Oh gosh, that sounds like fun.
We had a lot of fun.
Did they ask a lot of the girls who weren't playing that night? Well, would you like to earn a little extra money tonight?
Well, they had some of us, and I don't know how they chose us, but I happened to be one of them.
Mm.
I had a good arm, you see, I could throw.
How did the peanuts not fall out of the bag?
Oh, they have them tied pretty good.
Oh, I see, okay. Now, did your company have a team in this league?
He did, but I didn't even play with them. I played with Goodrich, B.F. Goodrich, the tire outfit.
Oh, okay. And how often did your team play?
We played in the league. You played... twice a week league games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes three times a week, but mostly twice.
Okay, was this...
Nightball.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask. What was your team's name?
Well, we were what do we call it? The Goodrich... We had a good name for the Goodrich. What a memory, huh? they really didn't name them so much in those days, though.
Mm-hmm.
They just named them by the sponsors.
I see.
You know.
So you were the good...
We were B.F. Goodrich, and then mm-hmm. some of them were... They had various teams. And then we also had Mark C. Bloom, which was another tire outfit out here, and later I played for them.
Okay. So let's see. Did you watch men's professional baseball? Did you go to any games? Were you able to?
Bill Allington. he was a semi-professional. He was a great hitter and a good a scholar of baseball for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But his arm wasn't good enough to get him in the major league ball.
Uh-huh.
He knew the rule book back and forth. And incidentally, I knew the rules pretty well, too, because he'd always be quizzing and stuff, you know. I'd go watch him play semi-pro baseball every Sunday afternoon.
Oh, and who did he play for?
He played for a plumbing outfit in our area. I forget the name of it, but it was plumbing concern.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And what year, when the magazine came out in 1943, was that the year you went to the tryouts, or was it the following year?
No, it was 44 when we went. See, the season was over by the time the article came out in Life magazine. And so then we later heard about they were going to broaden their scope of looking for ball players, and one of them was the West Coast.
Did the magazine article tell you who to contact if you wanted to play, or?
I don't believe it did. As my memory serves me, I don't believe it did, Kathy.
Then was Bill your connection with who to contact, or?
Well, we didn't contact anybody until the scout came out, and then we contacted, I think it was Ken Sells, who was president of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And we had very little to do with that. They did most of the work. And
I see.
Just sent us back. Got us train tickets, you know, and away we went. And it was on the train going back for spring training that I had received a telegram saying that I was the aunt of little Heidi Victoria Ziegler.
How exciting!
Yeah, and now she's a school teacher, teaches eighth grade, and her daughters are grown now.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that is so exciting.
Time flew over these years, but
yeah.
She's sure a nice gal.
And she teaches eighth grade. She must teach in a junior high then.
Well, they have a one school deal in Auburn now. They go through eighth grade and then ninth grade into high school.
I see, okay.
That isn't all over, but it is up there in Auburn, California.
Right. We have the same thing here.
Yeah.
Was your family excited for you to go out to Chicago?
Well,
and
they knew it was a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Bill had talked to them and told them, you know, that it was legitimate, and they saw the magazine article and everything. So they were quite pleased and were anxious to see whether or not our gals made a team, you know,
for
training.
Okay.
So they accepted it.
What was your motivation behind joining the team?
Well, how would you like to do something you just absolutely loved and then get paid for it? That was the motivation.
It sounds like a dream come true.
As people said, well, Zig, you could have paid them and played. You know, I was.
So this was a major part of your life at this time.
It certainly was.
Okay. Could you explain if you had a tryout in your hometown before you went to Chicago, or?
No, well, we had a game, and I'm sure the or a few games in this scout saw us play too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Besides accepting Bill's word for these people,
right,
they were going to send back.
Okay, what was your tryout like in Chicago?
Well, see, there were a whole group of gals, and don't remember the name of the hotel we stayed, but anyhow, you'd be out on this great big field, and they divide you up into various groups and with the various managers. And then, you know, you first were calisthenics and running and, you know, just that way. And then you'd start having pepper practice, if you know what that is. And then,
no, could you describe
pepper
that?
Pepper practice is just a little deal where four of you line up and then one hits the ball. Just, it's a short thing. You just loosen up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that in Major League Baseball even today. And then of course, hitting, and then the manager would hit ground balls, and you'd field them and throw them to first. And outfielders, they'd hit fly balls, too. And various things. they do in baseball, spring training.
Okay. What time of the year was this?
This was, I think, was late April or early, late April, I believe it was.
Okay, so the weather was fairly decent.
Yes, it was pretty good down there.
Okay, great. Did anyone within your family accompany you to Chicago?
No, no. None of the parents accompanied the, however, a lot of the gals' parents and boyfriends came back to see us play, you know.
Oh, great.
But not going to spring training, no.
Mm-hmm. What was the most exciting thing about being in Chicago for the tryouts?
Well, it was actually not in Chicago. It was in Peru, Illinois, which was
okay.
South of Chicago, but I believe it was south of Chicago.
Peru.
Yeah. Well, the most exciting thing was hoping and praying that we'd be good enough to be able to play in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And that excitement carried us over. So along with that, we all hustled. A hustling ball player, you know, is what is good for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we all hustled and played our best, and we all made a team. Some of the gals didn't, and they were sent home, but that was kind of sad. But fortunately, our six made the teams.
Mm-hmm. Where did you stay while you were in Peru for the tryouts?
You know, we stayed in a hotel, and I can't remember the name of the hotel.
Okay. Do you still have contact with the other girls, the other six girls who from California who made the other teams?
Well, I sure do. One of them was Annabelle Lee. I've been to a baseball card show with her, and Dottie Wilts. She's now Dottie Wilts Collins. She's very active in our association, our Players Association. And Tybee Eisen, who lives out in Southern California, she also is active in that. And Faye Dancer, she lives in Southern California. She was one of them, and I saw her last November at a baseball card show. But some of our ex-ball players, I sure keep in touch with, like Beans Reisinger, one of our pitchers, good pitchers. She and I are in contact with each other all the time. And also our chaperone, Dottie Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in contact with her. And then Marilyn Jenkins, one of our catchers on the team. So I have kept in touch with some of our Grand Rapids chicks.
Great. Now, Dottie Collins, you mentioned? Dottie Wilts Collins?
Dottie Wilts, W-I-L-T-S-E, Collins,
W-I-L-T, okay. And could you spell the Eisen? Last name.
E is in Edward, I, S is in Sam, E-N, Eisen.
Okay.
Selden was her real name, but Tybee, she goes by.
Okay. And Lise is L-E-I-S?
Lee. Annabelle Lee, L-E-E.
Okay. And Dancer was just as it sounds.
F-A-Y-E, uh-huh.
Okay. Dancer. And then Reisinger?
R-I-S is in Sam, mm-hmm. I-N-G-E-R, Reisinger.
Okay, well, thank you. That's wonderful that you've kept in contact.
Yes, and they're all fun. And I hope to see them all at our next reunion, which will be the end of October this year, down in Palm Springs, California.
Mm. And which reunion will this be? How many years?
52.
Wow.
52nd.
That's
wonderful.
We had
the 50th in South Bend 2 years ago, and that was great.
Tell me about that.
Well, a 50th reunion, you'd wonder, gee, how many? We knew some of our players had passed away, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And but, gosh, they all looked hale and hearty, the ones that were there, and there were a bundle, a whole bunch of us there. And, of course, most of them had married, you know,
mm-hmm.
and had families and stuff, and there were a few that hadn't married, and everybody looked fine, and we had a great reunion.
Great. You must have had a lot of fun together.
We sure did.
Okay, let's go back to the tryouts. How long did the tryouts actually last?
Well, actually, spring training lasted 2 weeks.
Okay.
Nigh on 2 weeks.
Okay. And what was when did you find out that you had made the cut?
Well, just about toward the end of spring training.
Okay. And at that time, they told everyone.
That's right.
Okay.
In fact, a few of them had gone home earlier. You know?
Oh, I see. And when you found out, were you all grouped together at the same time?
By then, some of us were on the Milwaukee chicks, those of us who went back from California, and some of them were on the Minneapolis. So we were in different groups at that point, you know.
Mm-hmm. And did they post a sign, or did they just call out your name?
They had a great big meeting, and they named the rosters, and you listened very intently to hear your name.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that must have been hard on the girls who didn't make it.
Yes, it was. It was, and however, some of them realized they weren't the material for the league, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a nice trip for them anyhow.
Yeah. So what was your reaction? Did you whoop or scream?
Well,
you
waited till it was all over, and then you really did, yeah.
Okay. And did you call your family or write them when you found out?
I'm sure I called.
Yeah.
But I was in close touch letter-wise, and so it was my mom. She wrote.
And how did they react to it?
They were thrilled, you know, because... to know, and especially knowing that all six of us made them even happier.
Oh, yeah. So you said you were in close contact with your mom with letter writing.
Yes.
Did this continue while...
all throughout the league.
Okay.
I wrote her about every other day.
Oh, is that wonderful.
Yeah.
So is there any other experiences or memories you can dredge up?
Well, from training, all I can say it was a lot of hard work, and you kept moving, you know. And I can't think of too much more other than we all got together at night, you know, for dinner and stuff, and then you'd have, like, little meetings, and then go your way. But when you're in spring training, you don't do much but play ball and eat and sleep.
Sounds like a lot of hard work.
It was, but it was well worth it.
When did they start bringing in the decorum classes, and what were they like?
I believe that was a couple of years later, maybe a year later or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was a year later. And he, Mr. Rigby, of course, who started the league, he wanted the girls to look and act like ladies, but yet have the ability to play ball like men.
Mm-hmm.
And so and he thought if you could brush up the gals to be even more ladylike, it would be a good deal. And so he got some beauty counselor down there to spring training, and a couple nights after dinner we'd have these meetings everybody'd have to attend, and she gave a lot of little lessons on charm. We called it the charm school class.
So what were they like for you? Were you comfortable in them?
It was interesting, but one funny thing was, this particular night it was about hair, and you know, because we had to have our hair long enough that it came below the caps, the baseball caps. And so my hair has never been a crowning glory for me, but at any rate, she was showing various hairstyles, and then she said, well, maybe somebody would like to come up and I could give a pointer or two or something to that extent. And so all my friends were saying, go, Zay, go, go. They probably pushed me up there. Well, they got their laughs for the day because she kind of looked at me and she looked, well, she was very nice. She said, there isn't too much we can do with this. And that gave them their laughs, and that was fine.
Oh, my. Oh, gosh. Well, it sounds like you enjoyed them.
Oh, every one. I sure did.
Great.
Later in life, my hair became much better because when I went to work as a court reporter, which I did later, I'd get a permit about every 4 months, and I wore high heels with spikes on the marble halls of the courthouse. But anyhow, my hair became better.
Oh, now, how'd the other players feel about taking the classes? Were they as comfortable
as
you?
Well, we kind of thought that was kind of silly, just like we thought the uniforms were silly because we never played in what you'd call dresses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we became used to those uniforms and kind of liked them after a while because underneath them we wore tight shorts so that when you hit the dirt, you know, meaning sliding, your dress would fly and it wouldn't matter because you had these shorts on underneath, you know, and they fit snugly around your legs, you know. So we became used to the uniforms and it was fine. And it's just like the charm school lessons, we kind of enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think the uniforms influenced the fans' perception of the league?
Well, I think the fans knew that they were getting femininity and good ball playing, and that was a big factor. The uniforms didn't digress from the ability of the gals to play ball, you know.
Okay. Could you tell me a little bit about the rules of conduct that you had to follow?
They weren't tough if you followed them. You had to be in your, when on the road, you'd have to be in the hotel 2 hours after the ball game. That gave you time to shower and dress and go out and have a sandwich, you know, and I returned to the hotel. Mm-hmm. At home, it was a little tougher because you were spread around. You lived in various places, and they couldn't check on you so much. But that was one of the rules. And another rule was you couldn't wear jeans and stuff, but a lot of the gals would sneak them out. You weren't supposed to fraternize with other ball players on other teams. You know?
Wow.
Make it very competitive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else. There weren't too many, you know, and you'd cooperate by, you know, signing autographs and never denying anybody that privilege, you know.
Right. Do you feel...
Kathy, the rules and regulations kind of influenced me to the extent I learned a lot about cooperation and teamwork, and of course that's the big thing when you're on a team. The individual is not important, but the team as a whole is the thing, you know. So that was one good thing, and another thing it taught me a little bit about tact, and that's kind of stayed with me, I think, through life, and I guess I can't think of much more along that line.
Why tact? How would you define that?
You know, there are ways to approach people, and there are ways not to approach them.
Mm-hmm.
If you want somebody to do something, there's a tactful way of doing it, and another way, you get a lot more cooperation out of a person if you're tactful. And it's just like a lot of the times a gal would be moaning about the manager and something. I'd say, yeah, but we have one manager, and he's running the show, so we go according to him, you know. But that was the big thing to me. It was knowing in anything you have to have rules, and sometimes they are not to everyone's liking, but you must carry through. You know?
Well,
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and that's wonderful that you could. You went through this experience, and that it is something that you could carry forward into your later life.
That's true.
Let's talk about the league administration now. Could you explain the length of the average season, specifically the Chicks season in 1944, and the number of games that you played?
We had usually 110-game schedule, mm-hmm. running from May to Labor Day, after which we'd have playoffs. The teams that finished high would be in the playoffs, and then the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had quite a stiff schedule, and didn't start as early as Major League Baseball, but they played, their schedule was 160 games, I believe, and it won't be this year on account of their strike. But at any rate, those are a lot of games, and you'd have some rain out nights, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd have makeup games, which you'd have to play a lot of double headers later on in the summer to make up for the rainout games, you know. So it kept us pretty busy.
Boy, I bet. Now, were most of your games evening games?
Most of them were evening games. I'd say 90% of them were evening games. We would once in a while have a day game on a Sunday.
Okay. How did you feel about when you had a rain out and then you had to play a doubleheader? Was this something you didn't look forward to, or did it bother you at all?
Well, we would rather play the game, but if it was a bad night or something, you sure don't like to play in terrible weather, you know.
Right.
So we just accept it. You have to accept the weather, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but later on, we make that game up with a doubleheader.
Right.
The next time we came to their town, or they to ours.
Now, if you played a doubleheader, was I'm not familiar with it. So was there, you played one game and then you had an hour break, or?
Not even an hour, maybe a half an hour.
Wow.
And then you'd start your second game. You'd start the first one earlier than if you were having a single game. They usually started at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But doubleheaders started at 7, usually.
Oh, okay. So then how much later would you end up playing?
Well, depending upon, sometimes if you had a tie ball game, you have to play till somebody wins. But the normal game ran about an hour and 20 to about an hour and a half to an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay. So you would start the second game maybe around 9 or
yes,
so.
Or maybe even a little sooner, maybe.
Okay. So it was...
And sometimes a doubleheader did start at 6:30. You
know. Okay. So it was a long evening for you.
It was
then.
A long evening on those days, those dates.
What position did you play for the Chicks?
Second base. Once in a while, shortstop, but mostly second base, until it became regulation baseball over the years. As the ball got smaller,
mm-hmm.
the base length longer, and the pitching distance farther, farther, until it became 60 feet, 6 inches, which is actually the same distance as men's organized baseball.
Oh.
So then the softball pitchers were out because you can't throw a softball 60 feet, 6 inches. So it went to strictly overhand pitching, and then it was really a good game.
Then what did your position change to then?
I still played second base, but when our pitching staff ran thin due to maybe make-up games and stuff, I could pitch, and I did pitch.
Oh.
Yes.
How did you like that better than second base, or what was your favorite?
I did like it better, I was never a real great hitter. I always just say, well, I hit like a pitcher. I guess I should. Pitchers are known for being poor hitters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But say, for instance, I pitched tonight. Well, maybe tomorrow I'd be right back at second base, which makes me happy because I love to play all the time.
Okay. Did you feel more comfortable on second base? Like, or
yes, yes.
Less pressured, maybe?
But I had a good control of pitching, and that's a big asset for a pitcher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a fairly good curveball and a slider, and so I was able to get through. I wasn't a real strikeout pitcher, but mm-hmm. I got the ball over the plate, and we had a good outfield. They ran those fly balls down.
So you worked well together, then.
That's right.
Okay. Did you sign a contract when you started playing
yes,
for the...
Everyone had to sign a contract.
Okay, and can you remember some of the terms?
I surely can't. All I can remember was we had to sign them, and they put your starting salary in it,
mm-hmm.
and you knew what you were signing for, and all of our expenses were paid on the road, food mm-hmm. was paid for on the road, and then when you're in your hometown, you're on your own.
Okay. What was your starting salary?
I think mine was something like $75 a week, which then was, to me, was a bundle, you know, because back in those days, a dollar went a long ways, you know.
Yeah.
And that was good money, but and throughout the years, I went up to $100 a week, and that was pretty much the top salary. There was probably a little higher than that for some star pitchers, but
mm-hmm.
that was about the top.
Hmm. Okay, well, it sounds like you started out at quite a bit more money than other women.
I started out less. I don't know why I started out, but that's the way it was.
Hmm. Okay.
I guess because I was loud, gabby, you know.
Pay me more.
That was...
Were you loud out in the outfit in the when you were playing second?
Talk it up, and they don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you encourage your pitcher all the time.
Right.
Be talking. Well, I was one of those holler gals or whatever you call them.
Okay. Can you give me an example of that?
Well, come on, get that ball, come on, you know, blah, blah. It's hard to say.
Yeah, over the phone.
Naturally.
Now, were you paid weekly or biweekly?
Biweekly we were paid.
Okay. And what did you do with your money?
Well, we'd go out on shopping sprees. You know, you were... it was fun. And if you were smart, you saved some of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you send any home to your mom to hold for you in an account or something?
Actually, I didn't. I did open an account in... I know I did in Grand Rapids. I don't know if I did in Milwaukee or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I just opened the door to let my two cats in. Back.
Later you'll have to tell me about your cats.
Darling.
Did you like the changes in the league that, I think you already answered this, that made the game more like baseball?
Most definitely. Baseball, I don't think there's a comparison. I think softball's nice, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we had to play and everything. But once you play baseball, per se, it's the best game.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you feel like when they changed the game over to baseball that you got better at the game?
Oh, yes. We progressed right with it each year. And it was a gradual progression, you know, because they couldn't make it too sharp, too severe. So the balls kept getting smaller and smaller until we used the regulation baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so by then we had grown into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball is better, I think, for this reason. It opens the game up. There's more hitting in baseball. And softball is strictly, I think, a pitcher's battle. A lot of 1-0 ball games, and they're not as exciting as some hitting, you know, and
mm-hmm.
runs scored.
Right. Isn't softball, doesn't it have less outs than baseball?
No.
No,
well,
it has the same?
Some of them play 7 innings. That's a very prominent game in softball, 7 innings as
mm-hmm.
opposed to 9 innings.
Okay. Is there any incident that is strong in your memory that happened during one of the games, or whether at home or out on the road?
Well, I guess probably the most exciting one when you were not down near the end of the season and you were hoping to get in the playoffs, and every game became crucial, so to speak, you know, and we had one that went extra innings, and boy, we finally ended up winning it in 15 innings, which was a long night, but it helped us get into the playoffs because the competition was real good, you know. And that was one, and we won the pennant twice while I was in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we won the pennant more than twice, but the championship twice, I should say.
Okay. And once was with the Milwaukee Chicks.
That's right.
The other time was?
Too bad it was. We didn't have enough people to appreciate it, you know.
Yeah.
That was too bad.
Yeah, the shortage of fans was
yeah.
an unfortunate part of that. How do you feel that while you were playing in Milwaukee, that the people in Milwaukee and the press received you?
Well, pretty well, and those fans were very loyal and they're very nice, but the point is we didn't have enough of them.
Oh, yeah. When you said you won the championship twice, the second one was with the Grand Rapids Chicks, right?
Yes, it sure was.
Okay. Did the press ever badmouth your team because you were girls or anything?
No.
Or were they more positive toward you?
Yeah, they were positive toward us. I must say that. You bet.
That's great. Did you stay in live in a motel when you were at your home base in Milwaukee?
No. Our chaperone for those she got rooms in various homes, you know, people's.
Right.
And I stayed in some very nice ones. And they were all very nice to us, you know.
And rooming houses?
You know, say, just your own residences.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we'd pay them for living in their house, you know. We got our own bedroom and stuff, and that's how we lived at home.
Then did they, then did you also pay them for board? They fed you meals?
No, we didn't eat meals there. Some of them did. Once in a while, you'd eat there, but no, but... a lot of fans would invite us out for dinners. I can remember Grand Rapids. There wasn't a Sunday that went by that I hadn't been invited out for a dinner.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Was this by families or women
or
men?
The Sandro family. They were a good Italian family in Grand Rapids, and they were bigger than houses. It's understandable because they had like 7-course meals.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they really ate, but they were very nice, and that was the way it went. But we'd go out and buy our own meals, you know, when we were home. On the road, we'd also eat, but we got meal money.
Right.
On the road.
Could you spell the name of that family you just mentioned?
S is in Sam, A, N is in Nancy, D is in David, R, O, Sandro.
Sandro, okay. While you were living in these people's homes in Milwaukee, what did you do for breakfast? Did you have a cold breakfast in your room, or did you still go out for that?
Being a foodaholic, I'm sure I ate more than just a cold breakfast. But we had nice little restaurants around there, and I never missed a meal. I know that.
Okay. What was it like to play at Borchardt Field?
Well, now that was what was nice. Borchardt Field was. It was overwhelming, let's put it that way.
Okay.
For softball, you know, glorified softball.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a nice ballpark.
When you were playing there and you were sharing the stadium with the minor league Milwaukee Brewers, how'd you feel about that?
Well, we felt that was where we were supposed to play. You know, I don't know how the Brewers felt about it, but... the field was quite far away from the stands, and when you didn't have many people, it didn't feel as though we fit into that, and we didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the situation there.
Okay. How often did you have home games in Milwaukee in relation to your away games?
The number of games on the road were commensurate with the number of games you played away.
Okay.
On the road, half the season at home.
Huh, okay. Do you have a general idea on what was the average attendance at the home games?
Yes, at home, this is a pretty good average. I'd say we average in Grand Rapids about 3,000 people. That's an average, but maybe more than that, maybe 3,500.
Mm-hmm.
But on some games, we have maybe 5,000.
Wow.
But that was a real big crowd.
Right. Was the number of fans at your Milwaukee games about the same size or smaller?
No. We might have 1,500, you know, on a good night there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so,
Was there advertisements?
Well, in the papers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem to gel in that ballpark.
Oh, boy. What about when you went to play the championship games in Kenosha? Did the Milwaukee fans follow you down there?
Well, there were a few that did follow us down in Kenosha. Yes, there
mm-hmm.
were. The loyal fans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too bad. Being a winning ball club, we couldn't play at home because it's always nicer to play at home and something like that, you know.
Right. Yeah, that would have been much better for you guys.
It wasn't to be.
Did you... what kind of a drive was it at that time for the fans to come down to Kenosha?
I don't think it was that far. What, about 80 miles, 70 miles?
Mm-hmm.
Like that?
So it was maybe a 2-hour drive?
Yeah, no more than that.
Okay. So, well, it still was quite an outing for them to follow you down there.
Right.
So what was the fans' when the fans in Milwaukee found that you had won the championship game.
We were absolutely delighted. The good, loyal fans that made up the 1,500. they were absolutely delighted.
Boy, I bet. Is there any incident that stands out in your mind about the championship game? Was there one game that really stands out for you?
Well, I can remember as I say, it was glorified softball to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And pitching is the name of the game in softball.
Right.
And we had one of the best in Connie Wisniewski.
Mm-hmm.
And she pitched three of our seven games that we played in the championship and won all three of them. Now, that was exciting.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Let's talk about Max Carey for a few minutes, your manager.
Yeah, Max is our manager.
Okay. What was it like being a player for him?
Well, Max is a good manager to play for. He taught us a lot about base running because he was such an excellent base runner and held the record for Major League Baseball for stolen bases for many, many years. And so even if he taught us that you don't have to be a speed demon to be a good base runner, and we learned that, you know, because you steal on the pitcher, you don't steal on the catcher.
Mm-hmm. I see.
You learn the pitcher's moves, and that's how you can get a good jump on him to be able to steal a base. And that was an important thing.
Yeah, so you keep an eye on the pitcher.
That's
wow.
Right, and the minute you detected her move to home plate, you were off if you were going to steal.
Mm-hmm. And did you steal?
Well, even I stole. I wasn't a real fast runner, not real slow either, but
mm-hmm.
Yes, I learned a lot about base running from Max.
Great. Was he a nice manager? Was he a good man to work for?
Yes, he was a good man to work for. And he kept, you know, he's kind of an inspirational guy. And he ran a good ball club, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Would you describe his coaching style as inspirational?
Well, he emphasized teamwork, which, of
mm-hmm.
course, again, was an important thing. And each night, just before we'd play, we'd all get in a circle and somebody'd have some little short, inspirational thing to say. And it kept us all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so we did that. It sounds funny in a profession, but we did it for a year or two.
Now, when you moved to Grand Rapids, did he follow you there?
Yes. Then, you know, he became president of the league.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so then we had different managers.
Mm-hmm.
The longest one was John Rawlings.
Mm-hmm.
He used to play for the New York Giants.
Oh.
And he was a good manager, but his temperament was not like Max Carey's. But he was a good manager.
Mm-hmm. How long was Mr. Rawlings your manager?
I think John was our manager for about 4 years.
Okay. How was he different from Max?
Well, he didn't have much patience, and Max
had
a lot of patience.
Okay.
John was stricter,
mm-hmm.
But he also produced good ball clubs.
Okay. And how many years were you under Max?
How many years was I what?
Was he your manager? Did you mention 2 years?
I think four.
Four?
At least four, yeah.
Okay, great. So, do you have good memories and experiences about him?
He cracked the whip safer than sweet. Might have blown a ball game this particular night, and
mm-hmm.
he'd say, "Practice tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, you know,
mm-hmm.
get us out there." And then try to correct the faults that we'd made the night before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he was good, but he just did. He didn't have a sense of humor like Max Carey did, and it's tough not having a sense of humor, no matter who you are or what you do.
Yeah.
A sense of humor, humor carries you a long ways.
Now, when you, Max, of course, was in charge of how often you practiced, right?
Oh, the manager runs the ball.
Right. Could you tell me, one, how often you did practice, and other things that are involved that the manager does, any other of his chores?
Actually, practice, once the league starts, practice depends upon how well you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're winning ball games and stuff, you don't have to practice very often. And if you're in a slump and you're losing ball games and you're in a hitting slump, well, then you'll come out for hitting practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say how often, but just how your style of play dictated, I guess.
Okay. What other things did he
Well,
do?
He actually, that was enough. To run a ball club is a big factor.
Yeah.
And he did it. We had chaperones to do other things.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about your chaperone, Dottie Hunter.
Yeah, she was. Dottie Hunter was our chaperone from the inception of our of 44 through the end of the league,
mm-hmm.
through 1954. In the first year of the league, she played first base for the Racine Belles. But then the next year, she became a chaperone because she was a little bit older, you know, and
mm-hmm.
A little slower. But she was a good hitter, I guess. But anyhow, she became a wonderful chaperone for the chicks. Everybody thought the world of Dottie.
Really? Great.
Oh, yeah.
Was your family happy that you had a female chaperone?
Well, I think that added to a good operation.
Yeah. Okay. Now, did everyone on the team like her? Did they get along?
I can't think of anybody who didn't like Dottie Hunter.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Was she more like a teacher or a mother or a friend?
On the field, if someone got hurt, she was like the trainer, so
mm-hmm.
to speak. And she was in charge of the uniforms, and she was in charge of making booking reservations at the hotels when you were on the road, and generally overlooking the ball players and making sure they abided by the rules and stuff.
Okay. Now, what about if you could tell me what was considered to be a good chaperone? What kind of qualities did she need?
Well, one that the people liked, but yet one who could crack the whip once in a while,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, and that was Dottie. She and she treated everybody fairly, you know, no exceptions,
mm-hmm.
and so that made it nice.
Well, that's a hard thing to do, also.
Yes, it is. But it's just like a parent not showing partiality to their children, and that's one thing that was good in our family. They never showed partiality between my brother. I mean, that was nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are aware of those things, you know.
Yeah, they are. Is there a big age difference between you and Frank?
Frank Jr., well, there were 3 years and 3 months. He was older.
Okay.
It's hard to know anybody was older than I, but there are still some.
Oh, boy. How did Dottie handle the violations of the rules and regulations?
Well, if there were minor infractions or something, she'd handle them herself. But if there was something kind of major, she'd report to John, our manager. And then together they'd confront the ball player and work it out, whatever
mm-hmm.
it was.
Okay. Could you explain any of these situations?
Well, a lot of there was some fraternizing going on, and
between
maybe one of our ball players and someone on another ball club.
Okay,
is what they didn't want.
I see.
If they continued, they'd be warned, and if they continued it, maybe they'd get a little teeny fine or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they most of the gals adhered to the rules, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now I understand that. I cannot remember her last name, but a young woman named Janet was thrown off the team for some infraction of the rules.
Off our team?
Yeah. Schlesien? Slinger?
Sweetie, you know, that does not ring a bell.
No?
Fortunately, no.
Huh. Not in Grand Rapids either.
Not that I remember.
Hmm.
But that might be my memory too, you know.
Okay.
I can think of the good things.
Yeah. Well, that's good. How did Dottie and Max get along?
They got along very well. Max taught the world to Dottie, I know. And I think that Dottie respected him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And they got along very well.
Great.
That's another important thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have to cooperate and get along with each other.
That affects the team, then.
You betcha.
Right. In what way do you think it affected the team by having them get along so well?
Like, say, for instance, if they weren't getting along, maybe some of the gals would take up for maybe the chaperone and the others take up for the manager, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is not good. That pulls somebody apart.
Right.
That sure didn't happen on our ball club.
Well, then you guys were fortunate.
Yeah, we were lucky.
That way. How did having a chaperone affect your social life at home and on the road?
Well, on the road, you saw more of her, of course. You saw more of everybody on the road because you were so closely confined, you know, at the hotel and stuff. But, we'd go out. She'd join us to go out to eat after ball games and stuff, you know.
Huh?
And maybe once in a while even John would,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What about when you were at home?
When we were at home, you wouldn't see as much of her, of course. We were at the ballpark every day, and needless to say, we saw her every day, you know, but I mean, not in a social situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that, from what you had said earlier, that you and Dottie have become close friends over the years.
Over the years, you bet.
Now, how did your relationship with her change?